हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनो भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, so Western Ocean, Wave 2, Chapter 39, Verse 129. No, excuse me, 132. Another example of Siddhi from the 10th canto. Akura, overwhelmed with affection, quickly jumped down from his chariot and fell at the feet of Krishna and Balaram like a rod. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:38-34. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 38th chapter, verse 34, Sukadeva Goswami tells King Parikit, "My dear king, as soon as Akura, the chariot driver, saw Lord Krishna and his elder brother Balaram in Vrindavan, immediately got down from the chariot and, being greatly afflicted by affection for the transcendental Lord, fell down upon his lotus feet to offer respects." These are some of the instances of perfectional meetings with Krishna. 3.2.1.33. Meeting with Krishna after separation from him is called tushti, because that is satisfaction, right? Mm. So one is siddhi, and then Prabhupada says satisfaction. Perfection, satisfaction. Because perfection means you've come up to that point. Then you have done what's beyond that. You know, so there's a lot of times, just like with the, you know, just with the mundane consciousness of karma and jnana, then there's always this idea that perfection is the top. But in devotional service, perfection is never the top. Perfection is now you've come to the standard point. Then you go beyond. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, siddha means like it means cooked or boiled. So if you take potatoes, right, put them in the water and boil them, they're siddha. So that's it. Now that's perfect. I mean, that's the ultimate, what you're going to do with those potatoes.
For the German, it is.
That's it. Not going to put any salt or sour cream or pepper or nothing.
That's perfect, more perfect.
That's what we're talking about. It just goes farther. So perfection means it's just like when we say someone attains perfection. Then, in this case, of course, it's talking about in rasa, meeting Krishna. But generally when we talk about perfection, it means you've come to the Brahma-Buddha platform. So you've come to the transcendental position. Then from there, you move forward and develop prema. So it's an important thing to note, because you'll see it's always used in that way. So perfection means you've come up to that point. They never say prema is perfection. They'll say you come to perfection. Mm-hmm. Then prema is then beyond that. So just like Sarup Siddhi, that means you've come to the point Siddhi, now you've met Krishna. But now it goes beyond that. Now it has to develop into prema. Or Vastu Siddhi, then you know you've come to that point where now you've established yourself. Then you move beyond. So it's always referring to the situation, that how you're situated. So they've come to the point of siddhi. Now they've contacted Krishna, or they're situated on the spiritual platform, or they're situated in prema. You know, situated meaning here, meaning met Krishna. Yes?
It seems, we know that the term perfection on the material level is relative.
Yes.
One's perfection is someone else's perfection.
Yes.
It seems there is some semblance of relativity of the term perfection on a spiritual platform.
No, there's variety.
Okay, variety. Because I'm thinking of, you know, Rupa Goswami mentioned Iraha Sya Haryada Sya Kamala Jivan Mukta Sa Uchate. Even if you are even if you're just a neophyte devotee, the fact that you are engaged in devotional service is Jivan Mukta.
Yes, yes.
But it doesn't mean, you know, it's like...
No, but it keeps, because it can always go more. But it's that you come to the standard. Like we're saying, it's you come to the standard. You know, let's say the potatoes are there, they've been cooked, you put some butter on them, salt, pepper. That's the standard. Now if you put some sour cream, you put some other stuff on top, this and that, it just gets better.
It's still the potato is just ras.
Yeah, but it's just a matter of how far it goes. But it's just, because in other words, the sambandha aspect, abhidhayam prayojana. So the sambandha, that's a, you could say, a fixed position. Then you apply that in abhidhaya, then the taste you get from that, then that can just keep on increasing. Does that make sense?
It actually never stops increasing.
It never stops increasing. But it's not that Mother Jashoda starts out there and we come back after, a few, whatever it is, millennia and all this and that, and now she's, you know, moved up to being, you know, a junior gopi or that, and then she moves up. And no, it's just, that's fixed. It's always there. It means the attraction may increase, that attitude and all that, but the position isn't. So when you're talking about here is that sambandha aspect of now you've come to the point of Brahma-Bhuta. Now you're not on the material plane anymore. You're on the spiritual plane. But your consciousness can still go farther, like that. Or you've come to the point of now you have your spiritual form and you're able to, you know, so that'll be that Brahma-Bhuta stage. Then you're able to apply it, like we say here, meeting Krishna. Then it becomes Sarup Siddhi. You know, you've met Krishna for the first, like that. Then, because now your form is perfect, because now it's in contact with Krishna. You know, or it goes farther than Vastu Siddhi, it means that is your form. So in this case, you can see this here, it's that someone like Akrura that may be the same. He's already on that platform, but he's you know, how you say, attaining that platform. Does that make some sense, or got confused?
No, I understand.
So in other words, we're looking at the sambandha aspect, but then you see as the tushti, it's already a relationship. Now it's the satisfaction within that. So it's not that there's not satisfaction in the siddhi. It's just a matter of, it's that first moment when you contact, that's always something special. So therefore it gets its own, name. But the point is the continuation is going to be the tushti. So that's the thing. There's a distinction between the sambandha, abhidhaya, and prayojana. The same platform, but it has its variety. Now 3.2.134, an example of tushti from the first canto. O Master, if you live abroad all the time, then then we cannot look at your attractive face, whose smiles vanquish all our sufferings. How can we exist without your presence? Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.10. Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee meets Krishna after long separation, the meeting is one of satisfaction. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 10, it is stated that when Lord Krishna returned to his capital, Dwarka, the inhabitants said, Dear Lord, if you remain in foreign countries for so long, we shall certainly be bereft of seeing your smiling face. Upon observing your face, we, your eternal servitors, become greatly satisfied. All the anxieties of our existence are immediately mitigated. If we cannot see you because you are long absent from Dwarka, then it will be impossible for us to live anymore. This is an instance of satisfaction of meeting Krishna after long separation. Because there's always that tape. The other ones is it's kind of like, I guess the aspect within the prayers, then it'd be the longing, siddhalasa, you're hoping for that, or, you know, it's just that mood of where, you know, you're going to meet Krishna, you know, that kind of thing.
Siddhalasa.
So it's because we saw the other ones where you think I'm such a fool and useless and all that. Then we see, you know, then there's prayers where you're just appreciating, but then you have that one you want to attain.
That you find that a lot in Bhaktivinoda Charanagati. No, Gita Bhavani.
Gita Bhavani, okay.
All his songs is, I will meet you, I will serve you.
Yes.
Longings.
Yeah. So it's a matter, that's right, it has that aspect, siddha. You know, coming to that thing of meeting. And then it becomes perfect. So having met, then there's a different taste. Now you're going back on that the previous taste. So it's just moving that forward. I'm thinking one is not apprehension. It means that you means you're looking forward to something.
Expectation.
Yeah, it's kind of like that expectation. I can't remember that. You know, sometimes you just can't find the word. It's sitting there. So expectation. But this is then because one has it. But this is then you have, and so now that taste, then it's just going forward. So it goes to another level. So that's why it's a satisfaction.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that as a material observation that the second meeting, at least for me, is the most relishable. Mm-hmm. Because first, you're not sure, you just meet the person, so...
Break the
ice, this, that, some interaction. And then the second is, you know, it's the best, because it's without familiarity, mm-hmm. and it's very fresh still. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's already kind of like normal. It's, you know, nothing special, actually. Mm-hmm. Obviously, here isn't like that, because, you know, Krishna is ever fresh, so the meeting is ever fresh, but just...
Yeah, no, but that's there in nature. If you want to take it from another perspective, from the perspective of theater, then the opening night will be like, it will be the most exciting, you know, for the actors and the audience, mm-hmm. because of that expectation. Mm-hmm. The second night then doesn't have that, so it's more relaxed, but at the same time is because it doesn't have that energy, it's not as, it won't stand out as much. Mm-hmm. The third day, then that's considered to be, you know, the best, because now they've done twice, they've relaxed, and now they'll come into form very nicely. Then after that, then like you said, they may get familiar and they go, or you know, that's up to them. But generally, if you're...
Imagine when they have the same play for 20 years.
Yeah.
The cat.
Cat, yeah. Or I think it was in your old Calcutta. Like that. So. Yeah, sometimes they even change actors. It goes so long. Yeah, but that's...
And in terms of etiquette, actually, you see, I mean, I still remember when I started visiting the Paris Temple.
Right.
I mean, every time you bump into the body, you pay obeisances.
Every time. We would always do it in the morning. Every morning, obeisances to everybody.
Yeah,
but we wouldn't do it during the day.
I remember as a new guy, I was watching, I said, they're always bowing down to each other. Now, you know, I say, hey, hurry up, and pat on the back.
Okay, yeah, there's a joke, I think it's like in Australia or that, or America. Vanchas Prabhu,
Vanchas Prabhu. Where is the excitement?
No.
Vanchas Prabhu. What, are you here? Still here?
Another limit. Before it was that in the morning after you have bath, the tilak, everything, and all that, then anybody you meet, you offer obeisances. Yeah. You know, up to Mangal Arti. If you hadn't seen him after, then of course. But otherwise, the first time you saw everybody, you offered obeisances. It may be senior people, you might. I've had so many times you walking, you know, at the festival, because you have people from all over, they don't know who you are. And so you're walking down the road, and they're walking down the road.
Yeah.
They don't know who you are, even Saffron, this and that, but you know, they just keep walking. And then as you walk by, they turn around and look to see if there's a kachya or not.
Right.
And if there is, they just keep walking. And if there's not, then they'll offer obeisances. Very calculated.
Now, Gauranagar is blessed. Subhag Swami is wandering every morning. Yes.
Okay.
He came with his servants, and he's just going all over the place. So, you know, practically the first thing that I see, I go on the roof to chant about that. So,
okay.
You know, my day is...
He's going to bless. He's become auspicious. Okay, so he is here, because I thought I saw in the picture of the Rafa Yatra.
Yeah.
There was
yeah.
him and Purushottama.
Yes, yes.
He came on that day.
Yeah, he came on that day.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure because they had the mats, but it looked like it was him.
Yeah.
Okay. 3.2.135, another example of Tushti. Seeing Krishna in front of him at the gate of Dwarka, Dwarka reached such an astonishing condition that he could not even greet Krishna with folded hands. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's personal servant, Dwarka, seeing Krishna at the door of Dwarka, forgot to offer him respects with folded hands. He's just so much in ecstasy, he's just absorbed in that. 3.2.136. The wise call living together with Krishna permanently sthiti. So what was the?
Steadiness.
Steadiness, okay. 3.2.137. An example of sthiti from Hamsadutta. That cruel person, given a fearful name by the gopis, Akrura, leaning against a jeweled pillar, is discussing with Krishna about the Kurus. The disciple of Brihaspati, Uddhava, is sitting on the golden floor and is absorbed in massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee is ultimately situated in association with Krishna, his position is called steadiness in devotional service. This steady position in devotional service is explained in the book known as Hamsadutta. It is described there how Akrura, who was considered by the gopis to be terror personified, would talk with Krishna about the activities of the Kuru dynasty. A similar steady position was held by Uddhava, the disciple of Brihaspati. He would always massage the lotus feet of Krishna while kneeling down on the floor before him. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a representative example of sthiti. Gurur Shishya means Uddhava, the disciple of Brihaspati. Right, so when you say guru, that means Brihaspati. Right, so he's the disciple. For the servants in Braja, there is also constant living with the Lord in union after separation. Though it appears that Krishna left Braja and did not return. This will be understood from the last commentaries on the sections describing Preya Rasa and Vatsalya Rasa. One can understand these servants in brief by consulting the Ganodesha Deepika. Okay, then, quote here, we wish to see Subandha doing the massage, Vardida offering water of the Lord's body as bath. Probably for the Lord's bath. Bakula offering clothing, Pushpaka offering sandalwood pulp, Madhukara offering sweets, and Jambula offering tambula, all nourished by the sweet effulgence of Krishna, the very life of Raja. 3.2.138. In association with Krishna, the Anubhavas of the Dasya Bhaktas are such things as carefully performing their services and sitting in front of him. Right, so you see there's a stableness here. Because there's going to be, you haven't met Krishna, then you first meet Krishna. Then you are away from Krishna, then you meet. Right? And then this is when you're just regularly with him. So there'll be difference in taste. Like you see, Dwarka will have that. But once Krishna's there now in Dwarka, it'll go into what was that? Sthiti. Right. So when that first comes, you'll have the one from the tushti. Then we'll go into. So that makes sense. Because there'll be different flavors. Because at first it has that intensity, and the other then has that steadiness. And then within, of course, there'll be all the babas and all that kind of thing. So 3.2.138. You know, it'd be like, let's say. The friend has talked about some very nice, let's say, preparation or something. And so then, you know, there's some interest. You know, so then when you first have it, then it'll have that particular flavor. Then you haven't had for some time, you're wishing to have again. Then when you have that, it'll have that flavor. Now let's say it's a regular thing that you're always eating that, it'll have its taste, it'll be stable. But it doesn't have that specific excitement that the first two did. But at the same time, it has its own depth, and all the, you know, the Abhicharya Bhava is on about all these things are flowing. Does that make sense? 3.2.1.39. Some persons with no taste for Krishna Bhakti, on considering Dasya Ras, conclude that it does not reach a state of rasa, you know, because they're just thinking it's formal. 3.2.140. Their opinion is unfounded. Because in many Puranas and in the Bhagavatam, the Dasya Ras is clearly seen. Right? They're trying to say it's not a rasa, only the upper three are rasa. They'll just say these are all background. Of course, they are background for the upper three, but they're still rasa in themselves.
The same comment was made for the Shanta. Some don't consider it as a rasa, but then Rupa Goswami says it is a rasa. It's just because they say the object and the subject apparently are one, but it's not true, and he refuses that argument.
Yes. Yeah, because otherwise then, because you have the element that they're going to support, then you naturally just drop everything else. You know, it's a natural thing. You know, we only do this, we don't. You know. So then they don't see that the wide range is there. Because the point is if it wasn't rasa, then how would it connect properly? How would the servants and the Shanta Bhaktas be there in the pastimes if they're not on the same platform? You know, the taste will be different. You know, the intensity may be different. But they have to be on the same platform of rasa. Otherwise, they'll disturb the pastimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That point is that the situation, what you can do with the situation, and then the taste from that activity. That's going to be that whole combination is what rasa is going to be. It's not going to be that they're just on their own. So that's the difficulty. They separate it too much. That's right, without the acharyas, you won't get that proper balance. They have a particular idea, and then with that idea, you try to make everything fit into it. And for most things, it will fit, but sometimes you see it just doesn't fit. You know, because you're working with logic, you want the logic to be satisfied rather than actually what's there. So the point is, as humans, the human nature is not, or the personal nature is not, it has its logic, but how it'll flow and all that, you can't say.
And to say as if it's the same as if saying only sweets have taste, everything
yes.
else like tasteless.
Yes,
taste
yes.
Truly has its own. Water has its own flip.
Yes, that's the whole thing, and it's all the background. I think there's one place I saw it once a long time ago. I'm not sure where it is, but it's mentioning that as long as there's a taste for the food and for drinking water, then you have the inspiration to eat. But as soon as that's lost, then you stop eating. So, yeah.
You know, Greece is famous for having, I think, up to 45 different tastes of water.
In Greece.
Greece is famous for very healthy water.
Well, so it must be all the different regions.
Different waterfalls.
Because it's got different minerals.
It's famous for that.
Oh,
and therefore in Greece, anything you order, they bring a glass of water with it. Anything.
Oh.
And I even tried one time. So can I have a glass of water? Put me two glasses of water.
So water goes with the order.
And water goes with everything.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, water goes with water.
Ah, okay, for for this water, then this water will go well. Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord, he is said to have reached the attainment of yoga. The English equivalent of the word yoga is linking up. So actually linking up with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, begins when the devotee renders service unto him. Devotees situated in the transcendental rasa of servitorship render their particular service whenever there is an opportunity. Sometimes they sit down in front of Krishna to receive others. Some persons are reluctant to accept this level of devotional service as actual bhakti yoga, and some of the Puranas also, this servitorship in devotional service is not accepted as the actual bhakti yoga. But Srimad Bhagavatam has clearly indicated that servitorship relationship with Krishna is the actual beginning of yoga realization. Because we see is that in any case, because even if one's going to these higher rasas, that you have to go through these stages anyway. If you're, you know, sadhaka, you're moving up like that step by step. Because there will be that point where then you are going to be situated in that spiritual platform and appreciating. Then there'll be that interest to serve. Then it will move on. So depending on the association and one's nature, then it moves forward. Let the materialistic persons have their opinion. The view previously described about the Dasya Bhaktas is correct, because it is in accordance with the sages who have written scriptures about rasa. Thus the reply is given in this verse. Tavat is an indeclinable used to indicate what was just said, and although they say this, iti tavat, it is not secure, asadhyā. It is not very secure because of their inability to take possession of the rasas of Bhagavatam. So, because of their lack of possession, they can't take advantage. So they're from, you could say, from just that position of appreciation, not appreciating. It's not that they're from a higher level of possession, where then they're saying, oh no, this doesn't match.
So it's less than appreciation, actually.
Yes, of course. But I'm just saying, from the material platform, you'd say they're on the platform appreciation of rasa. They don't actually have possession. So not of transcendental rasa. So they can't. So they're in a lower level and trying to judge a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't work. And then you see is that on the transcendental platform, that doesn't happen. Because everybody has that same. The platform is the same, so that's the common element. Just what is the taste, what's the rati, and what's the taste from that rati, that will be a difference. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you have one of these big, wedding receptions. You know, they have a huge arrangement of food there. So if you're in the room with the food, you're on the same platform as anybody else in the room. Just according to taste, some will take this, some will take that, the volume of it, what they'll mix together, that will be different. But everybody's there, everybody's eating. You know? And so the guys that are in the next room, they shouldn't be making comments. The reason is given with yat, because Kshirasvami says that iti means in that view. Api Sali, a grammarian, says it means what was shown in this and that place. Thus he also accepts the same meaning of iti.
The materialistic presumption of tasting a rasa is like what I'm getting out of it. So in the lower two rasas, apparently that they don't get anything out of it.
I mean, they say, but because they don't understand. Because I have to serve, or I'm just appreciating the existence. But they're unable to see that there's some taste in that also. Yeah, so then there's that pride and everything like that. So they'll be intellectuals, so they'll see themselves in a superior position, but at the same time, as they're not and then they have to really appreciate it. Because they're trying to see it logically. So therefore, friendship now, it's equals, or I'm superior, I'm in charge, or the conflict like this.
You have that, like you have academics who do PhDs on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, on the Sandhavas, on the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
And they judge, you know, they give their opinion.
Yeah.
Actually, they are like, it's like behind a glass wall.
Yeah.
They see the thing, but they can't touch it, they can't taste it, nothing.
No, it's so.
And weird. They're expert.
And they'll be considered, if it comes down to it, let's say you have, you know, a devotee who's living the Bhagavatam. In the academy, he's not the expert. The expert will be this PhD.
Yeah.
Like that. I remember we were, I think it was, remember at one time in, I don't know if it was, when it was, but in Israel, then we went to one university. We were supposed to speak on yoga.
Oh, that was the first time you came, 97.
Yeah, we went there. But because there was some weird kind of turn off, you had to turn off early. Because when you get to there, you couldn't get it, so we were a little late.
In Tel Aviv.
Yeah, we were like 10 minutes late or 15 minutes late. So the professor had planned, they'll introduce, I'll speak, and then they'll give the conclusion and everything and bring it all in line with however they're teaching yoga. But because we got late, you know, we called them and, you know, told them we were having a problem on the road there. So then they spoke first. They did their whole thing first. Then when I came, then I spoke. So the time was taken up and the questions, and so they just ended like that. So it's, you know, it's like you said, they have their idea. Okay, you know, I'm teaching the yoga. He may be a yogi, but, you know, hey, you know, I'm worthy of the academics.
Teach yoga.
Yeah, it's yoga. Because I asked once on the academic, says, okay, you have someone who, let's say, they're a professor in Tibetan Buddhism, and let's say the Dalai Lama comes to, you know, give a presentation. Who's actually the senior most authority, you know, in the eyes of the university? They said it's going to be the PhD, not the Dalai Lama. Even though he studies the Dalai Lama, because he'll be objective in that, while the Dalai Lama will be subjective, so he can't actually have the pure understanding. So it's weird, you know, like you said, they're on the outside of the body.
I don't even understand why they even bother.
What's the appeal? It's a taste of logicalness, because it's based on the intellectual platform. Because if you keep it on the intellectual platform, it's called objective. If you allow your own taste that you're getting to become prominent, it'll call it subjective. That's their, you know, idea. So therefore, intellectually, it could be this, it could be that. But now, in discussing, you know, various could be this, could be that, then everyone has their field where they have their taste in intellectualizing on the subject. So therefore, then those who are in the arts and that, then they'll, you know, what's the name for that? Performing arts.
Humanities,
okay. In the humanities, then they have a taste because they have a kind of common circle and they can do their speculation there. But let's say you have those in science are going to speculate there, or those in the performing arts or in the visual art, they'll discuss it there. So everybody has their area where they want to speculate. And the better you can come up with the most variety of options and not be attached to any one of them, though you may say, but this one appears to be the most logical because in your presentation, you brought the logic out and raised that one up above the others. Okay, you've come up with, you know, 5-6 options, and you show this one seems to be the higher, while someone else, you can only do a deal with 2-3 options, so that's why you're a senior. Like that, but you can't say it's a conclusion that's absolute. Mm-hmm. Even though they'll act as though their knowledge is absolute. That's the funny part. In their own definition, it's not absolute, but they're going to act as if they are the authorities and not someone else. So if we say this is absolute, they'll say you're wrong, because there is no absolute. But their authority to say it's wrong is absolute.
Yes.
So it's you know, Maya's really, really tricked them. That's the Maya Pratigyana. They're so intelligent, but at the same time, it's Maya's still just...
So invading.
Yeah, just leading them around by the, you know, the rings and notes.
It's interesting because when I took up tertiary education, Bachelor of Arts, it was in creative writing, but the second part was comparative religion.
Mm.
And one of them was Buddhism and early Christianity. So I took early Christianity, and I wanted to find out about the teacher who was a PhD in early Christianity. He became a Catholic monk in Australia and then worked his way up the ladder until he was sent to help research at the Vatican. Now listen to this. He does research at the Vatican and he discovers things don't matter. The Vatican is hiding stuff. So he began to bring it up to the top guys, and the top guy says, you have two choices. Either you stick to the norm that we've established, or you're out. And he got excommunicated for wanting to open up his mouth. Next thing he did, he went to Jerusalem, did his own research in Jerusalem, and he came up with his conclusion. What the Catholic Church is saying is not the truth.
Okay.
Came back to Australia, decided to do a PhD in early Christianity, and now he's teaching what he wants people to know. I mean, he was just an amazing
teacher.
Very smart. He said, there is no way that they would let me speak. I'll do it as an authority in the academic world.
Yeah.
And he's still excommunicated.
Yeah, I don't know. He'll probably remain that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So their taste is in the speculation. That's why it probably always refers to it as mental speculation. So it's just, that's their field. They're very good at it, because whatever you say, then they'll come up with this and that and so many things like that. And so it's just what area they want to speculate in. That's all. So you do your degree in the area of chosen speculation. So you know, and then as the chair changes, as the then you may have to adjust, you know, the speculation, because you know some speculations before were allowed, some aren't allowed anymore. You know, they just change. It's just like I heard the other day we were hearing that they're getting grumpy about in America about you know, Washington and all these, you know, founding fathers, because at the time, because most of them were in the southern, the northern part of the southern states, you know, they would have been in, you know, at D.C. and Maryland and those places, but it was still below the Mason-Dixon line. And so they had slaves. You know, Washington was very nice to his slaves, and you know, one of his points in his will is that all of them were emancipated. You know, and they all take on the name Washington. And so, he took care of them. Make sure they like that, but still, just that they were slaves, you know, it's not a, you know, an appropriate position. So now they're trying to make him not prominent.
Hmm.
And I was saying to this one devotee, well, at least Lincoln should be safe, you know, because he freed the slaves. You know, at least that's the theory. And so then today that person said, no, in the Lincoln Memorial, you know, because on there's some black person who's, you know, kind of seeming in a junior position, respecting him. You know, he's grateful that you cared and took care of us, but why should the black be in a junior position to the white guy? So they're saying that part of the statue should be removed. You know, so it's just, it doesn't matter, it's just something that's totally fine, now just the modes adjust, and now it's not. So that's the problem with the material platform. It's not stable. Though they'll claim that, no, this is science, this is. But in a moment it changes. You know, like Einstein was the man, and then there was a point where he wasn't the man, he was totally wrong, and now it's kind of like, well, I guess he's okay.
But, same, you know, Darwin.
Move on further, yeah. So it just always changes. So
They're going after every single statue they can put their hands on. Not just in America, all over the world.
Oh,
just painting them in red. You know, the blood. They're going after every possible statue.
Oh.
Yeah.
How's Louis doing in Paris?
Louis is okay, but in Belgium, Leopold II, who literally, I mean, that guy massacred millions of black Africans.
Oh.
So now they've put red paint coming out of his eyes. Red paint on his hands. In London, they do the same.
Wow.
He's heavy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's so it's just the modes adjust, and then suddenly it goes this way. I always find it very amusing that the Americans get all into this, because no one brings that means about the African Americans. What about the indigenous, native Indians?
Yeah.
You know, the First Nation. Nobody cares about them, because the whole point is then everybody should, you know, leave, give it back, you know. So, but no, that won't come up. But if the modes change, then it will.
The Muslims are bringing it up. They have this theory that earlier they called the Moors. They were Muslims.
They have the American Indians.
Yes.
They were all Muslims.
So now they have... Some people claiming... bringing up this theory, it may become prominent because Muslims weren't like, they are the ones who are...
Okay, so then they become the First Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just insane. It's totally true. And that's it, just the modes change, and just suddenly today something is good, and the next day it's not. So people think that, you know, they have that freedom, but it's just the modes adjustment. So your choice is, do you want to work under the modes or not under the modes? That you do have a choice. But once you choose, then you follow the natural path that's there. You know, it's just like you decide whether you're going to this restaurant or that restaurant. But once you go to that restaurant, you have to follow the menu. I can't say, well, I want what's on the menu in that other restaurant. You know, so it doesn't really work.
But, like we heard before about the Satvika Bhavas, all the kind of avasas within it, Pratyavas, and then there is sattva vas, and the lower two are nisattva and pratipa. The pratipa is like the rebellious attitude, the taste one gets from rebelling to laws of Krishna.
Oh yeah, because that's the yeah. Right.
And then that's what the demons always had. So when it is mentioned about Buddhism and Jainism, Buddhism is the one which is having the rebellious. And Jainism is speculation. Jainism is always about chance and speculation.
What did you say Buddhism was?
The rebellion.
Rebellion, okay. Yeah, because it was the Kshatriyas took up the one, the Vaishyas took up the other. Because the Kshatriyas took up the Buddhism.
Yeah.
That was their deviation, so then they like to speculate. Because it's just they want to approve what's right, what's wrong, and this and that. But yeah, interesting. Yeah, because there's this taste in just rebelling. Even if it's, whether it's logical or not, that doesn't matter. Just rebelling against, you know, there's this taste. So that's coming from the Buddhism. This rebelling against any kind of authority, any kind of tradition, anything that's different from what I want to do. Yeah, and generally you see they're not necessarily so speculative. Because the speculative guys, it doesn't matter. It could be this, it could be that, right? It's the siyadva. Maybe you're right, maybe you're not. Maybe this one's right, maybe you're not. And they just like the taste of you. So that's your academics. They can sit back and, you know, just play with it.
The Jainism, they are the origin of, like, the modern mathematics. All the permutations, this and that. Speculate.
Yeah, because you also see there in their temples and that, they use such far out geometry in the, you know, in all the designs. It's almost like illusions. It was in one, I think a famous one in Rajasthan, that has it's round in the middle. And they put the floor so it's all straight in one direction. You know, but as you walk around the circle, you know, the pattern to you twists, it turns. So if, let's say you're at the top, you know, and the design's going east-west, so then, when you're walking in line with the pattern. But as you start to go around the corner, then it starts to go to your left. You know, and as you go farther, then it goes behind you, and then it twists around. So as you walk around, the whole floor spins in the design. Even though it's just a very simple thing, but they do all kinds of stuff like
what's
that.
What's the purpose?
I guess it's just a speculation. You have all the different varieties and all that. Like anywhere else would make the, if it's in one line, it would be that way all the way around. So if they curve it. They don't think keep it straight, so it goes. So they're very far out. So that's interesting. The speculation part, or the, you know, with no, speculation with no authority, and then the rebelling against the authority. So they both, you know, it's a problem with authority. 3.2.1.41. Thus it says in the 11th canto, having achieved love of Godhead, the devotees sometimes cry out, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Such devotees, having transcended material conditioned life, sometimes imitate the unborn supreme by acting on his pastimes, and sometimes, achieving his personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.32. Srila Prabhupada. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 32, it is stated when the devotees are engaged in the discharge of bhakti yoga, sometimes they cry from thinking of Krishna, sometimes they laugh, sometimes they become jubilant, and sometimes they talk in very uncommon ways. Sometimes they dance, sometimes they sing, sometimes they are actually engaged in the service of the Lord, and sometimes they sit down silently as if absorbed in trance. So here they're saying is that in love of Godhead, right, having attained that platform, then they're tasting all these things. So that's the point, is they're situated on the platform of prema, and they're tasting all these various aspects. So then it just it has to be rasa. Otherwise, what are they tasting? 3.2.1.42. Also, it says in the 7th canto, one who is situated in devotional service is certainly the controller of his senses, and thus he is a liberated person. When such a liberated person, the pure devotee, hears of the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord's incarnations for the performance of various pastimes, his hairs stand on end on his body, tears fall from his eyes, and in his spiritual realization, his voice falters. Sometimes he very openly dances, sometimes he sings loudly, and sometimes he cries. This he expresses his transcendental jubilation. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.34. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, verse 34, Prahlad Maharaj says to his friends, my dear friends, as soon as pure devotees of Lord Krishna hear of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, who is the eternal reservoir of pastimes, or hear about his transcendental qualities, they become overpowered with jubilation. Ecstatic symptoms are manifested in their bodies. They shed tears, talk falteringly, glorify the Lord in a loud voice, and chant and dance in ecstasy. These ecstasies are always there, but sometimes they overcome all limits, and the symptoms become manifest to all. As we're saying, that the dasyas, they try to avoid the external manifestations of these ecstatic symptoms, because in their mind it gets in the way of them doing symptoms. Service. But it says, but sometimes they overcome all limits and the symptoms become manifest to all, so everyone can see. You know, like that one with Daruka. It's just you can see it. Though they may try to avoid it. But 3.2.1.43. In these verses, the usual emotions of these dasya bhaktas has been given. According to particular times, there will be exceptions to the general behavior. So there's always going to be, there's a standard way things work, but there's always exceptions. Right? Because that means the exceptions will naturally follow the particular patterns, but it's just like you have day, you have night, but twilight's an exception. You know, it's in between. So when it's moving from one thing to another, then it takes on these forms like they're exceptions. So makes sense. So you'll have that in anything, grammar and cooking, and anything, whatever you're doing. There's always an exception. There's always something. You always do this, but if it's this, you can do something else. You know, it's just like when you're cooking, you don't burn anything. You know, if you burn, it's considered, you lose the flavor. It overpowers. But if you're making bhakti chachari, you're only trying to get it to burn. If it doesn't burn, you don't get the flavor. You know, so there's always exceptions. You know, because therefore then the burn with the everything else is there in the simplicity, it stands out. Right? Because the burn's quite sharp, but it's got enough oil, it's got enough chili and particular vegetables that it balances it. So now you can appreciate that smoky taste. Does that make sense? So it's like that. It's that you there's always going to be the exception. Srila Jiva Goswami, the general bhakti ras sometimes has exceptions. The general form is mentioned verses 102 and 141 and 142. Affection for Krishna by those who identify themselves as the objects of indulgence is called gauravota. Right, because before we mentioned that there was the sambandha, right? Wasn't it? That's what it's called? The Priti Rasa there, so like that. And then you have the Gaurav.
Yeah.
So the Gaurav is when they see they're the objects of indulgence rather than the other way around. So it is like a dasya aspect, but they're the ones getting the attention. Right? Because Krishna, you know, likes to interact. When this affection is nourished by elements starting with Vibhava, it is called Gaurava Priti Rasa. Srila Jiva Goswami. Gauravam means being fixed in the conception of Krishna as one's parent, guru. When this conception becomes fully manifest or mature, it's called Gauravota. Gauravota. 3.2.145. The alambanas of this rasa are the Lord, Vishaya, and the sons or younger brothers and sisters, Ashraya, under his affectionate care. Srila Prabhupada. In the process of surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are six items. Krishna had, means in Dwarka had, means because it said that every wife he had 10 sons. Was there a daughter?
Yeah.
One daughter.
One daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 sons, one daughter. Srila Prabhupada. In the process of surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are six items. To accept everything favorable for devotional service. To reject everything unfavorable for devotional service. To believe that Krishna will always give protection. To identify oneself with Krishna's devotees. Always to feel inability without the help of Krishna. And always to think oneself inferior to Krishna, even though one may have full capacity to perform something on his own. When one is substantially convinced that he is always protected by Krishna in all circumstances, that feeling is called reverential devotion. Reverential devotion is executed in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his other protected devotees.
In the there are a few places where that pastime is described of Krishna entering Dwarka after coming back from Hastinapur. I mean, the way it is written is just so amazing, because there's this progression of how Krishna relates to each person. Mm. And it begins just with sound. He hears the conch shell. Mm. And then there are flowers on the road. Then there's different arrangements, so he can see he's approaching Dwarka.
Mm.
Then the people at the gate.
Mm.
Then other people come. Then the family members, the prostitutes.
Right.
And he explained how each person gradually, based on their relationship, see Krishna. It's very, very progressive, very systematic, mm-hmm. until he enters the palace and the queens are there, and mm-hmm. the kids. And mm-hmm. it goes from completely neutral, I mean, just sound, just hearing the trumpets and the conch shells. Mm-hmm. He just hears that. He says, oh, they are there, they are waiting. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets this images, you get the images of the gradual entrance into Dwarka. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very nice. So you have that both. You have the two sides. The inability without the help of Krishna, and always feeling myself inferior, even if you have an ability. So it's that, always that dependence on Krishna. 3:2:1:46. The Lord. When the elder Vrishni has raised some proposal, Krishna hears attentively. When a humorous topic arises, a gentle smile appears on his face. Enjoying himself in this way while sitting in the assembly hall, is giving beneficial instructions to us, his sons, by such conduct. Srila Prabhupada, when Krishna was residing in Dwarka, some of the elderly members of the Yadav family would occasionally put some important matter before him. At such time, Krishna would carefully give attention to those matters, and if there were some humorous topics mentioned, Krishna would immediately respond with a smiling face. Sometimes when Krishna was executing his duties in the assembly known as Sudharma, he would ask the elderly members for good advice. By such activities, he manifested as the supreme spiritual master, the supreme executive head, the superior intelligence, the supreme power, protector, and maintainer. Srila Jiva Goswami. Krishna gives instruction on proper behavior, hita, following after the actions of previous great souls by his actions, cheshtaya, such as listening attentively. So here you see even the Lord, then, you know, that attention is, even though they're in the Dasya Ras, they're servants, but they're the ones that are getting the attention.
Mm.
Like that. So as you know, generally as you think of the brothers, the sons of Krishna, the younger brothers and sisters and all that, that's going to be, you know, that element. But you see is that it's also there as Krishna has that towards, you know, senior. That attention goes there. Like you gave the example the other day that I think Srila Prabhupada was mentioning about that Mr. Bosch and his company. Sometimes he just wanted to clear his head so he'd go out for a drive with the driver. Then he put all kinds of things and listen to what's the driver's opinion. Like that, discuss it with him. So you're going to have is that someone can be in a servitor position, but they're senior. You know. So that makes sense. Yeah. So you have that taste.
Like Trump, he likes to check everything with his daughter.
Oh, okay.
Even though she's got zero qualification, and the son-in-law, zero qualification, and he puts them in charge of everything. So she is the senior advisor of the White House, can you imagine?
At least I say this. What do you call it? Family values. Family values. Okay. Then, chapter 40. Reverential devotion of sons and other subordinates. So here is sons and other subordinates. So there was that general, means that the attention of Krishna goes to them. Even though they're in the junior position. 3:2:147. In this Gaura Priti Rasa, Krishna is the Vishaya, endowed with the qualities of being a great father, having great fame, great intelligence, great strength, being a protector, and caresser. I could keep caretaker or caresser. Maybe it's that. Is that caress? Someone who caresses is a caresser?
It's not a profession.
I I guess if you're a parent, it's a perfection. You have to pat the kids on the head.
Jewish parents.
Yeah, you have to pat the kids on the head. Well, part of it's part of the job description. Right? 3:2:1:48. Those who think that they are the younger brothers or sisters, or that they are his sons, are the ashrayas of this rasa. Okay, so then sons, brothers, sisters, like that. Those who you know are in that kind of mood, but then they see themselves junior. Among them, Sharana, Gada, Subhadra are chief younger brothers and sisters. And Prajumna, Chanurdeshna, and Sambha are his sons. Is this the same Gada that always keeps coming up, the name?
No. Gada, one of the sons of Krishna is also Gada.
Okay, so this is a different.
He's not, I think he's born to Devaki Gada, but Sharana and Subhadra are born to Rohini.
But it's still, it's all brothers and sisters. It means if your father has so many wives, all the children of all those, they're all brothers and sisters. Some of them may have different mothers, but they have one father.
The stepbrothers, no?
Yeah, but in the Indian, the relationship is brother and sister.
Yeah.
It may be technically, legally like that. So even if you even have those who are from the same village, they're brothers.
Yeah.
Or the same community, they're brothers.
Yeah.
Like that. And so they'll act on that the way you would act with your brother. They have that brotherly thing, though there may not be.
Like in the CC, they always call each other uncle, you know, they're not even related.
Yes, yes.
Like the Kazi said, you're my uncle.
Yes, yes. Right? Yeah. Yes.
Also in South India, there is this, we have a surname in the beginning.
Okay.
That surname is actually your village,
okay.
More or less. And many people have the same surname. That means you cannot marry within that because you are treating them as your own family, brothers and sisters,
okay.
So we don't marry in that.
Okay.
Then you can marry somebody else.
Another village.
Huh? Another village, yes. Means it's the way how you relate with each other.
In Gujarat is different because we have Patel. We have different level Patel. You can marry your a high Patel cannot marry a lower Patel. It has to be top two Patels on the top.
In other words, it means how many motels do you own? That puts you up the hierarchy.
But that connotation is different because in North, when they get the name at the back, which actually represents their caste.
Right.
In South, the surname is in the front. It's nothing to do with caste or anything. It's just a familial relationship.
Okay.
So that's why we have like the caste and all is there.
Not there, yeah.
That comes out in your gotra,
okay.
Not in your surname.
Okay. But what about like Iyer, Iyengar?
Those are also like Patels and all. Because
okay, so it's just that particular region. It's like that.
Yeah. Is their caste like particular sect they belong to?
Okay.
But our surnames is just because of the family and.
Okay, it's like village.
And because of that, if you have that surname, it already understood like 3-4 generations, it doesn't match.
Cool. Yeah, so the point is that it's like, you know, brother and sister. It has that relationship. So for in here, then there's not a problem. They would just see like that. 3:2:1:49. These children possess more clothing, ornaments, qualities, and effulgence than the Parishads. They have black, yellow, and white complexions, and they play in Dwarka. Okay. So the associates, that means they have more than the associates. Because Krishna's taking care of them. He's showing. 3:2:150. Their devotion. Sambha and others eat with Krishna, with their heads raised. They eat his betel remnants. When Krishna embraces them and smells their head, they burst into tears. How much austerity they must have done previously to attain this position. 3:2:151. Among all the lalyas, Rukmini Sat Prajumna is the chief. Lalyas. a group of that.
This Jiva Goswami describes in the Priti Sandarbha, he categorizes three. First one is Palyas, those are protected by the Lord, and the second one is Dasyas, those who are like in direct service to the Lord, and the higher level is Lalyas, those who are cared for and nourished by the Lord.
What was the Palyas again?
Palyas is protected. Okay. So it comes all the Adhikrita, all the and Dasyas, like those who are serving in, means they have direct connection with the Lord. And Lalya is like this category.
Yeah, so all the Lalas and Lalis are all Lalyas. But 3.2.1.52. His form. All glories to the young boy, crown jewel of the young Yadu princes, Prajumna, killer of the of Shambhara, who is mistaken for Krishna because of his beautiful form. Srila Prabhupada. True reverential devotion is exhibited by persons who think themselves subordinate to Krishna and by persons who think themselves sons of Krishna. The best examples of this subordination are Sharana, Gada, and Subhadra. They were all members of the Yadu dynasty. They always used to think of themselves protected by Krishna. Similarly, Krishna's sons such as Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba felt the same way. Krishna had many sons at Dwarka. He begot 10 sons by each of the 16,108 queens. And all of these sons, headed by Pradyumna, Charudeshna, and Samba, used to think themselves always protected by Krishna. When sons dined with Krishna, him, they would sometimes open their mouths for Krishna to feed them. So that's the meaning of with their heads raised. You know, because you're like this, you're going to put something in your mouth. Sometimes when Krishna would pat one of his sons, the son would sit on Krishna's lap, and while Krishna was blessing the son's head by smelling it, the others would shed tears, thinking how many pious activities he must have performed in his previous life. Out of Krishna's many sons, Pradyumna, a son of Krishna's chief queen, Rukmini, is considered the leader. Pradyumna's bodily features resemble Krishna's exactly. Pure devotees of Krishna glorify Pradyumna because he is so fortunate, like father, like son.
Maharaj, if you know, Krishna is ever youthful, right? But at the same time, he's a father figure. So he appears young because he's ever youthful, but at the same time, he's got children who also grow up and probably look as young as he is, and yet he has this father relationship with them, as you would imagine an elderly man would do with his kids. But it's not the case. They're all young.
Yeah, they all look like they all look the same. They all have that same youthfulness. But you can still tell the difference because it's the mood. And it's just like if you're at a you know, a little bit of a distance or something, and you see Jananias and Pankajungri. Because they're identical twins, but you can tell the difference by the mood.
I can't tell. To this day, I can't tell.
Oh.
I can easily tell.
I can't tell.
Yeah, but it's a mood. Pankajungri has one mood, Jananias has another. Occasionally, Pankajungri, when he's like taking darshan on the deities, he'll look like Jananibhas.
Yeah.
But then as soon as he stops and moves or interacts, then he immediately sees Pankajungri.
I can't tell. I mean, I get, you know, I stop trying, like, you know, one tells me something in the morning, so then I see the other one and I tell him about the morning, he goes, you never told me that. So now I back off. I give up. Someone told me even the mother can't tell.
What?
Their mother. Can I ask in Pakistan jungle?
She can't tell.
Well, I'm not sure if she's still alive, but I remember way back someone told me even the mother.
Oh, well, it's a vibe. Maybe. We had one time, he was sitting in this room here, when this was the library. Then, the whole family was here.
The whole family?
Yeah, brothers, sisters, all that. They all sat around, they were reminiscing about, you know, what happened in World War II or after that, and how, because they were in the group, because all the children were moved out of London and all the cities up north into the countryside, and the parents stayed in the cities. So they were all separated for a certain time until the bombing was over, and then they came back together. So they were talking about that and all kinds of other things. And you know, some brings up something and then the other, you know, it was, you know, as you see, they always interact and are so friendly like the rest of everybody else was. I don't know if the mother was there, but brothers and sisters.
So you recognize them by the mood, that's how you tell, or you just know more?
It depends, because that comes and goes. There was a time when you could tell the difference by the sika. One had a smaller sika, one had a bigger that was tied. Then there was a time for quite a while that Jananivas Prabhu were white, because, you know, he's just considered, he's just transcendental to all these things, so he wore white. And then sometime not long back, you know, a lot more, maybe like last 10 years or something, then I think he switched back into saffron. So you used to have some external features you could tell.
What, darker saffron, lighter saffron?
That's there if you know like that. But otherwise, then I just go by the mood.
That's pretty subtle.
I was serving them all the time when they were in Calcutta.
Okay.
For me, it's like Jani was very more peaceful. Pankajangra Prabhu is a little more active. And
yeah, more enthusiastic.
The way he walks is getting quicker, and then Jani was slow.
Yeah, that's during the floods, when you have floods in the temple, then, you know, they have the morning program, and then afterwards, then, you know, because at least before it was all the kids would come for the darshan, and after the darshan and all that, then Pankajangri would just go out and play with them in the water in front of the deities, splash and fight and everything like that to entertain the deities, to entertain Radha-Madhava, because you have the stage, you know, jump off that.
They jump off.
They do all kinds of things. They have that. They have the boat. The funniest thing would be for those who didn't want to get wet, they would come in their boats, the canoes, you know, there, and they're taking darshan or Radha-Madhava, and then go over to Panchatattva and then go out. You know, you could even circumambulate. The Pankajangri always, you know, playing with the kids, you know, splashing fights. And his devotion. O Prabhavati, see in the sky the Lord of the Yadus, our Guru, the ocean of mercy, riding on Garuda. Cared for by him with the greatest affection, I have attained such confidence that I defeat the ferocious Tripurari in battle. I defeated him. Srila Prabhupada. There is a description of the Harivamsa of Prajumna's activities when he kidnapped Prabhavati. Prajumna addressed Prabhavati. At that time it said, my dear Prabhavati, just look at the head of our family, Sri Krishna. He is Vishnu himself, the supreme driver of Garuda, and he is our supreme master. Because we have become so proud and confident of his protecting us, we sometimes do not even care about fighting with Tripurari, Lord Shiva. It's just they don't care, because, you know, Krishna will protect them. They just have that confidence.
He actually fought also in Banasura time. Sometimes he fights, sometimes Krishna fights. The whole
with Tripurari,
with Lord Shiva.
Okay, cool. And Prabhavati, who's that?
I think it's one of the wives whom he kidnapped.
Oh, okay, so then it was.
It seems like that.
Okay. 32154. Though both the servants and the Lalyas worship Krishna constantly as the most worthy person of worship, awareness of the Lord's majesty is more prominent in the servants. Identification as the relatives, his children of Krishna, is more prominent in the minds of the Lalyas. And so then you have those who see, it means they all see him as worshipable. But then you see is that some, that's the prominent in his majesty. Then there's others who the majesty is not as prominent, but it's still the servitorship. Then you have those who they identify as relatives, you know, as children. So you're going to have these three flavors within. Right, those were the ones you mentioned, no?
Yeah.
So what was that? The Lalyas, the
Dasyas. And the Palyas.
And the Palyas, the ones protected. Yeah, so the ones that are protected, it'll be a little less majesty. The Dasya will be more majesty. The Paliyas will be a little bit less, and then the Laliyas, and that's that they just identify themselves as relatives.
Yeah, and this is one of the important things about those who are junior position. Though they act very friendly, still it's that respect, the mood, the identification, yes, always in the mood of respect. Mm. And this establishes and solidifies the relationship. Otherwise, like currently the way how people relate to each other, they're trying to remove that respect and there is no relationship.
Yeah, no, it's a problem. You have to be able to maintain. It's always the thing is that for means that's the difference between those who can deal formally or informally. The formally means they always have to be formal because they can't act informally. But those who can act in an informal way still have to, they can't cross the line of the position or the authority or of the person they're being informal with. Mm. So you always have to maintain that. So that's not so many people can do that because they get close and they get familiar and then it doesn't work. You know, it's just like you see with any of these, you know, big senior devotees, like Prabhupada. You had a few individuals that were there for a long time, regularly would be associated with him. You know, Upendra, Prabhu, or Haridas, and
Shrutakirti,
especially those two, like that. Harisori was with him for a long time. Because it says that he was Prabhupada's servant for 18 months, I think, straight. But, you're saying, well, that's not a long time because, they say he was the longest servant because that was at a run.
At a run, yeah.
Yeah, but you see
was
that.
More by stages.
Yeah, but you see Shrutakirti and Upendra, they were over a longer period of time.
Yes.
They were always associated. So, because Prabhupada, he told, I think, Bhavananda Maharaj that, He recommended, because they were talking about certain assistants, servants. And he was saying that you might, that he mentioned that you could basically recommend that he changes every 3 months. Just because they tend to get familiar. So you would see so many people come and be servants for something like that, so that Hari Sarva is longer, then that means, he was able to maintain the proper attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But you see that the closest was there the most with these others because they were more kind of like confidential or closer. A Harishar is always more formal. Like that. So,
yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Usually high level Snati was just temple commander in Vrindavan. And then Harikesh said, oh, we don't have anybody to give Prabhupada massage today. You want to do it?
Yes, yeah, he was a little bit strong.
He was on. Packed his bag.
That was it.
That was it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Krishna's right. Okay. 3.2.1.55. Though awareness of Krishna as the Lord is absent in the servants in Vraja, they are aware that he has power since he is the son of a coward leader. Right, so he doesn't have, because of being God, he has powers because of being in a prestigious position. He's the son of the coward leader, so naturally the prince that he'll have. Does that make sense? So they don't see it because he's God. Well, in Dwarka and that, they'll see it because he's the supreme. Yeah, because here you see Prajumna, head of our family, right? That is that, but he is Vishnu himself, the supreme, like this. Srila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of devotees engaged in devotional service with awe and veneration. The Lord's subordinates and his sons. The servitors in the abode of Dwarka also worship Krishna as the most respectable and revered personality of Godhead. They are captivated by Krishna because of his super excellent opulences. The members who always thought themselves protected by Krishna could readily convert their conviction into practical demonstration. Because it was sometimes found that the sons of Krishna acted very unlawfully in various places, but were nonetheless given full protection by Krishna and Balaram. Right? So they thought themselves always protected, so sometimes they'd be a little bit crazy. You know, just, you know, take great risks. You know, I think it was also, what you had it? Was it? Was it Samba?
Samba. Yeah.
You know, he took on the Kurus, was it?
Yeah,
I mean that's chutzpah, right? But he had that full confidence that Krishna was going to protect him. You see, Balaram showed up and was ready to drag the whole city into the Jamuna, like that. So.
Uncle gets more. Generally, the uncles get more active.
Yeah, they get more. They step in.
So, how would you understand the move of Abhimanyu? I mean, he had so much courage.
Yeah.
And he walked into the Lakshmini, he knew how to get in, he didn't know how to get out.
Yeah.
And they just finished him.
Well, that was because he was going to finish them. He had already, by that time, and it was still morning.
Yes.
He had already, I think, wiped out one Akshahini. Yeah. So they knew if he stayed inside, they didn't do something by the evening, there would be nobody left.
And he's 16.
Yeah, he was 16.
They're all in like
that chapter is just.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Talk about warfare, man. Read the Mahabharata about warfare.
Yeah, no, that's a war. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, we did about 640 million people in 18 days. Now,
that's genocide.
Yeah, I mean, that's serious. You know, we're getting, you know, you know, like amazing, like World War One was, the, I don't know, 20 million or 40 million or something.
20 million.
Yeah, like that. World War Two is also quite big. Like that. But, you know, so it's, here it's 640. You know, you have war, you know, go for it, you know. But, you know, no citizens are harmed, they don't disturb any cities, you know, they do everything very nicely. You know, so 18 days, so you don't need to dig a trench. You know,
they have dinner together.
They have dinner
together.
Hey,
pretty good today.
Yeah.
Got any hours left?
Yeah, no. You see regularly that sometimes when you have two really, you know, how you say these Maharatis or Atiratis fighting, everybody else would stop fighting just to watch. It was just so perfect. And they'd be cheering on. And it's whoever does well, it's not that this side or that side.
Yeah.
It's whoever is doing something special, that will be cheered. It doesn't matter if they're friend or foe. Like that. It's just, you know, so much more culture, so much more appreciation of the personal element, personal effort. But, Srila Jiva Goswami. They are aware, Vedanam, of powers such as conquering Indra, Aishwarya, because he is son of the leader of the Kaurav men. Vala Vadisha Putratva. Right, so that's the thing, because he's, you know, he figures, you know, he's power, you know, he's the son of Marajnanda, so of course he can beat Indra. You know, so that's the. It's not because he's God. 3.2.156. The Udipanas for Gaurava Priti Bhaktas are such things as the Lord's glance mixed with affection and smiling. 3.2.157. Seeing Krishna with his affectionate glance in front of him, Gada, with confused mind, offered his respects at Krishna's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada, even Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, sometimes unknowingly offers respects to him. Once when Krishna came before Balaram, Krishna was anxious to offer his respects to his elder brother, but at that time Balaram's club was lowered down upon Krishna's lotus feet. In other words, the club of Balaram's in Balaram's hand offered his own respects to Krishna. These feelings of subordination are explained above as sometimes manifested as anubhava. So here then, Gada means Balaram. You know, because he carries the club, so he's got to.
Gadagraja, is that? That is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Gadagraja.
Gadagraja.
3.2.158. Anupapas. sitting on a seat lower than Krishna's, following after Krishna, following his order, and giving up their own wishes are these Shita Anubhavas of the Lalyas. You know, it means the cool one. The cool is just it's the mood. 3.2.159. Yeah, Shita, cool. Sitting lower than Krishna, following behind the best of devas and sprinkled with water by Brahma, Prajumna entered the assembly and offered respects to Krishna. Avoiding a golden seat, he sat on deerskin spread on the floor. Srila Prabhupada. When demigods from the heavenly planets came to see Sri Krishna, all of Krishna's sons followed him, and Lord Balaram sprinkled water from his kamandalu upon him. Lord Brahma sprinkled water from his kamandalu upon him. When the demigods came before Krishna, the sons, instead of sitting on golden chairs, sat down on the floor, which is covered with deerskin. 3.2.160.161. The Lalyas share other anubhavas in common with the Dasyas, that is, offering respects, keeping very silent in front of the Lord, crouching down, humility, carrying out the Lord's order, even if it means giving up their lives, lowering their heads, firmness, not laughing or coughing in front of the Lord, and not listening to Krishna's private joking conversations. Right? You know, so I mean, he's in jagra, some you don't pay attention. That's between them. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the behavior of Krishna's sons appeared similar to the behavior of his personal servants. For example, the sons used to offer their obeisances. They were silent, submissive, and gentle. They were always ready to carry out Krishna's orders, even at the risk of life. When present before Krishna, they bowed down on the ground. They were very steady, silent, steady, and they used to restrain coughing and laughing before the Lord. Also, they never discussed Krishna's pastimes and conjugal love. In other words, devotees who are engaged in reverential devotional service should not discuss the conjugal love affairs of Krishna. No one should claim his eternal relationship with Krishna unless he is liberated. So that's an indication. You can't claim it. There may be an interest, but you can't claim it. Because until you're liberated, you can't function in the form. So therefore, you can't actually properly act. Does that make sense? Yeah. In the conditioned state of life, the devotees have to execute the prescribed duties, as recommended in the codes of devotional service. When one is mature in devotional service and is a realized soul, he can know his own eternal relationship with Krishna. One should not artificially try to establish some relationship. In the premature state, it is sometimes found that a lustily conditioned person will artificially try to establish some relationship with Krishna in conjugal love. The result of this is that one becomes prakriti sahajiya, or one who takes everything very cheaply. Although such persons may be very anxious to establish a relationship with Krishna in conjugal love, their conditioned life in the material world is still most abominable. A person who has actually established his relationship with Krishna can no longer act on the material plane, and his personal character cannot be criticized. Srila Jiva Goswami. It's also absolutely forbidden that they do not hear Krishna's private talks, but they are checked from understanding the sentiments. Oh, it is not absolutely forbidden that they do not hear Krishna's private talks, but they are checked from understanding the sentiments presented in those conversations. So it's not that they might not hear it, but it just won't mean anything to them because of the relationship. So it's just the way it is. Yeah. It's also here, it's interesting, is that when we're in the position of servant, then we don't hear these, we don't identify with these things. We may hear because of this, it's given in the Bhagavatam. So it's very, very, yeah. It means direct, but at the same time, very subtly presented. I thought I was making the point.
You know, we talk about Krishna is the son of Nanda Baba, so he feels he can do whatever he wants, right? Yeah. A couple of days ago, I was reading in Mukta Charita. You know, I mean, it's just a long conversation that drags on with arguments, counter-arguments, about who has the right to do what. And at some point, one gopi says, by the way, we know you're not from here. You're not a Brijbasi. You came from another place where there's no land. And Chandramukhi goes, don't rub it in. We already know that.
Who said that?
Chandramukhi says, don't rub it in, you know. Don't make it worse, you know. Like they kind of feel sorry for Krishna because he's trying really to claim this is my forest. He said, you got nothing. You're not from here. And we know it.
Yeah, just for the rasa. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, it's just unlimited, all the subtleties and the pastimes. Because there it adds to. Because then the point is he's not from there. That also then increases the parakeya aspect. So that means the whole of Braj has that flavor. Because Krishna's not actually from there.
Yeah.
You know, from that kind of standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're talking the legalistic aspect. And so that means that any time he could go back to his father's.
That's right.
So that means that's why then everybody, the intensity there is so much greater. But here then they'll use it just to, you know, you're saying this is yours, you're not from here, you know. Come on, don't try to pull the wool over our eyes, right, you know. So.
And Madhu Mangal comes and goes, okay, let's make a deal. What do you want? Just, you know, let's finish this. No, we're not finished yet. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, yeah, because of the taste.
It's interesting because that I was mentioning to Brother Sivaki and she said, you know, I mean, I have never laughed that much reading a book on Krishna's pastime. There are so many subtle jokes in that book. I mean, very, very funny jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're so sharp how they get into each other's mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And Brother Sivaki told me that Raghunath Das wrote this when he was very old.
Okay.
He was like past his 80s.
Okay.
And he wrote Muktacharita, which is a very funny book, actually.
Uh-huh.
So you can imagine at such an old age getting into that mood.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's just revealing all these nice things. Yeah, you also have the Chamakar Chandrika. Mm-hmm. That's also all, but they're short.
Yeah.
All kinds of funny.
Yeah.
It's just one of the tastes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Govinda.